Research on orbs, one of the most puzzling paranormal aspects of anything I've done. Ross, are people who call in and they have these orbs flying all around them. We get strange pictures we put up on the coasttocoastam.com website. What the heck, in your opinion, do you think they are?
It's one of the strangest phenomena of our time. And I've actually got a trailer up that people can go and have a look at right now at GlastonburyTelevision.com. That's GlastonburyTelevision.com. The trailer is for a program I'm making called Orbs, The Final Proof of Life After Death? I think it could be. So much so that I've taken a bet with William Hill over here. They've given me odds of 10,000 to 1 on a 100-quid bet that I can't prove the existence of an afterlife within a year. If I do, I get to win £1 million, apparently, which would be rather nice, although most of that will be donated back to research. But it's an interesting one. Orbs are intriguing. Many skeptics have put them down to dust, moisture, CCD chip faults. So let's have a quick look at that, George. Let's sure. talk through that. The camera faults. If you take a picture, you were talking earlier about a Nikon camera. I actually use a Nikon 950 Coolpix, which is brilliant for catching orbs. It's got a great dimension on it, a great spectrum of light. Now, if you've got a camera fault, all you need to do is put the lens cap on and take a picture. If you're still getting the orb in there, then obviously it's a lens fault or a camera fault within the closed circuit device, charge coupled device rather, which is what they call the CCD chip. So that rules that out. As far as dust goes, if you get a cushion now, bang it, bash it, and then take loads of pictures of your room, you'll see exactly how dust photographs. You get thousands and thousands of little grey circles that look nothing like orbs. Moisture, same thing. If you get a spray bottle from any of your kitchen sprays, fill it up with water, spray it around the room, take pictures. You'll get probably the nearest thing to an orb by taking pictures of moisture, but again, you'll get loads of them. And whenever there's moisture in a room, there's always more than one drop. So when you get a single orb on its own, and there's some examples up on the Coast to Coast website now, which Lex has put up for us today, you'll see pictures of things that are not moisture, they're not dust, and they're not lens faults on cameras. And what is intrigued me more than anything with these pictures is that on most of these occasions, people have told us about the picture, where it's going to be in the picture before they've taken it. Clairvoyants say to us, okay, I've got a young lady with me, she's 15 years old, she's got blonde hair. Exactly where this lady's supposed to be, we get a photograph of an orb. And we've even had orbs actually moving on command, where a clairvoyant has said, right, I'm now going to ask the lady to move from my left-hand side to my right-hand side, and then to move behind her back or in front of her. In each place that she's moved, we've caught the orb moving on video, and we've caught the ball of light on camera. So that defines an intelligence. So what I would say right now is, if anyone out there believes that orbs are dust or moisture, George, let's set up a church for dust and moisture and go worship it.
Yeah, absolutely. With this intelligent design behind it, they have this strange movement. They seem to know what they're doing.
Exactly. There is an intelligent communication that takes place. There's no doubt about it. Now, let me sort of see if I can change the thinking a little of the audience on orbs right now. We were talking earlier about near-death experiences. Now, let's picture for a moment a near-death experience. The person is laying dead for that moment on an operating table in a theater. They're above their body, and they're documenting, and this has been well documented over the years, what's happening in the theater below them, what's being said, what's being done. They're seeing all this, they're hearing all this. Then they see this orb, this ball of light. Sometimes they look at it as a tunnel of light, which then manifests into a person, like a dead auntie, uncle, grandfather, whatever. Now, let me ask some questions. Number one, their eyes, their ears, and their nose are on their dead body on the operating table. They've transcended that. They're now floating above their body. So how do they see these things? How do they hear these things? Because they have no ears or eyes, as we would understand it, in this ball of light that they've become floating above their body. Now, in the same way, a clairvoyant says they're seeing the young girl, she's 15 with blonde hair, but we photograph the orb, the ball of light. We don't photograph the young girl with blonde hair. Now, is it possible on both cases that we're actually using our ESP and telepathy, whereby this energy is transmitting to us its personality traits from life and giving us a third eye image, which is so real to us we believe we're seeing it across the room? The same thing is happening in both the near-death experience and the clairvoyant. So that communication taking place is the answer why we're photographing the orb and not the spirit, and how the communication is taking place between the soul, if you like, and the person concerned, between transmitter and receiver. Does that sort of make sense to you?
Yes, because I'm starting to believe, too, that these orbs, not the reflections, that are souls, past souls, and they float around, and they're looking to re-enter human bodies again, and they just seem to hang around.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think some of them do re-enter bodies. Some of them have moved on to the next planes of existence, but they seem happy to communicate. And they're very different to what we call the residual haunting, whereby an entity is seen coming through one wall and disappearing through another with no interaction with the person at all. And in those type of hauntings, we don't photograph an orb. We photograph either a flash of light or we photograph a shadow figure. If anything at all. But those interactions, I believe, are actually like a past replay, maybe through quartz crystal that's stored within the brickwork of the walls of the building. So in older houses or places with a history, you may get what we call a residual haunting, which is something totally different, where that spirit's not actually present. It's just almost like a 3D playback, like some form of video recording.